Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
For a guy who looks at me the same way that Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga look at each other when performing a song on a grand piano in front of a huge crowd. For a guy that has Mock Draft 2.0 out and Parenting Lesson 1.0 out. Oh, I'm sorry, 3.0 out. That's how many times they come out and how quick they come out. That's what she said. For no longer instance, here's Bank.
Oh, thank you, Dusty Likens, the Dirty Werewolf. Host of a soon-to-be show at 5 a.m. on 610 Sports Radio, April 15th. Recapping Game of Thrones with our guy, Nick Price.
That's right.
I have something for you, Dusty. Give it to you during the break. But no, thanks very much. And yes, parenting is a challenge at times. I'll be honest with you, it's not the easiest thing in the world. I wish there was an operations manual that came with kids. There's a lot of times I just wish I had that manual. You know what I mean? That manual to go to guide. We're going to have some fun tonight, Dusty. We always do when you and I are together. We're going to have some fun. We're going to think about the Chiefs. We're going to talk Chiefs. We're going to talk a lot of Chiefs. We're going to talk Wildcat, too. Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, joins me at 6:30. Give me the latest on Dean Wade. There was reports out there that he may not play in the tournament, so I'm curious what's going on with Dean Wade. We'll talk to Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats, who are a number 4 seed this season. Full details, 610sports.com. Looking forward to the tournament. And the Cats, can they do it again without Dean Wade? That's the question. Can they make that march? This was the year, Dusty. This is preseason. Big 12 player of the year, Dean Wade. This team's going to have to regroup, find itself again in maybe March.
He's got heavy-ass
without
feet.
Dean Wade. We'll get into the brackets later because Kansas has a layup playing in Kansas City. And I know it doesn't guarantee anything, but the Kansas City region has a great chance to be a pretty, pretty good bracket March to the Final Four. We'll talk that tonight. My mock 3.0.
Yeah, 3.0.
Dusty gets confused because I put him out so much.
That's right.
I better slow it down a little bit. We're still in March.
Yeah,
until the end of April.
Yeah,
I don't want to get up to mock 8.0. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You think you'll get that high?
Mm.
Like, what's your projected forecast?
I don't know. Probably 6.0. Probably will be my last one.
What was your
highest before
GPA?
The draft. My highest GPA?
Did you get a 3.0?
Yeah, we're getting personal.
That's not really. That's not like asking what you make a year.
In high school, I had a 2.9.
It's only personal of your trauma.
In college, I had a 3.4. My major, I had a 3.9.
You had a 3.4 as your total cumulative GPA.
Yeah, and that's because of what foreign language did to me. It dropped me down. I had a 3.875.
Shut up.
I'm not kidding. You know what? Here's the funny thing about it. I had a 2.9 in high school. I walked without honor cords. You know what I had in college?
You just said it. You had a 3.4. I don't believe that at all.
I will show you my transcripts to prove it to you.
You can't even say transcripts.
Transcripts. I will do transcripts and prove it to you.
Text line 69306. You think Jay Binkley?
I will 100% prove this to you. I had honor cords in college. You know why? History, my minor. I got honor cords because I only got like one B in it.
Your favorite show is Pawn Stars.
Whatever. I was a smart man in college. I figured
you have a 3.4 for sure.
Yeah, I was a smart dude in college.
3.9 in your major. What was your major?
Communications. That was very easy. It's very easy.
Do you remember the communication process?
No, but it was class sizes about 30 people. It was down at Pittsburgh State, and it was easy as hell in history.
And you played football, and you rocked a 3.4?
And history is my minor, and I love history because we're dealing in facts. We're dealing in facts.
Can you name all the presidents?
No, I'm not going to do that right now because I got stuff to do.
Okay. I'm stuck on this 3.4.
Eric Berry visiting the Dallas Cowboys, by the way. We'll see how this thing goes because – I have a feeling this could be like a Darby-type situation. Darby was all set to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. Ronald Darby's a corner. He had that ACL last year. He's been hurt the last 2 years. And it was a situation where he would have been a nice addition to the Kansas City Chiefs secondary. Thought the deal was going to be done. I heard from a source it was going to be done. And that was a tad bit of fake news. And I apologize for that. I apologize. Sometimes it happens to the guy that hates fake news. Fake news. Dusty knows all about this because he lives in that.
Oh, yeah, man, I'm full of fake news.
Your fake weather radar, you name it. But it didn't happen, right? He was not ready to play. May not be ready to play the first week of the season. Chiefs don't need that. Chiefs are in win-down mode. So the deal didn't get done. But the guy that they had last year that we thought they were going to get, Bashaud Breeland, who Kendall Fuller is very excited he's coming to the Kansas City Chiefs, they finally got that deal done. What is the common denominator that's going on with Brett Veach right now in free agency, Dusty? How many offensive players have you seen signed by the Kansas City Chiefs? It's been linebacker Damien Wilson. Oh, Carlos Hyde. I can't forget about that one. That's the offensive piece.
Yeah, man, you got your biggest star running back.
But he's not a star. But the Honey Badger, Damien Wilson, Bashaud Breeland now, Seth Kaiser, who breaks down Chiefs for The Athletic. One of the athletic writers for the Kansas City Chiefs joined Josh Vern today on Show and Vern. Ron's on vacation with the fam, and so Vern filled in and had Seth on. This is what Seth thought about Breeland when he broke down the film.
I like it. I was in favor of them signing him last year. He's got really good tape from Washington. Right now I'm sifting through his tape with Green Bay, and so far he looks all right. Not as good as he looked in Washington, but that's somewhat to be expected, being signed in the middle of the year, jumping in to try to learn a new system, especially one that appears to be zone heavy like it was in Green Bay. You're going to expect some struggles and some hesitancy, but he still looks competent, and that's impressive. He's pretty big corner, got decent size, really physical. He's on a prove-it deal. You can never hate that. You know, like Therese always says, the contract year is undefeated. And I think it's a very, very good thing for them to add some talent there because it was looking pretty bare.
Fair to say that he's going to be the replacement for Stevie Nelson?
I think so, yeah. I like what Charvarius Ward did to close out the season last year, and he's another guy with good size, good hips, turns and runs well, locates the ball, contests. But we've got a pretty long history in Kansas City of guys showing up for five or six games and getting everyone's hopes up at the corner position and then falling back down to earth. And so Breeland is a much more proven player. He's been a solid corner for years now. What I'm guessing they'll do is probably start Fuller and Breeland on the outside, and then on like the 70 or 80% of snaps that they have three corners on the field, they will probably rotate Fuller inside and then let Ward play the other spot. So Ward will still play the vast majority of the snaps because it's, you know, 2019, and right, there's always three corners on the field.
I'm okay with Breeland. I'm not overblown with Breeland. I think he got an average grade on Pro Football Focus last year. You can check that out, 610sports.com. It's got his highlights, got his Pro Football Focus grade, his stats, whatever you want. I put a nice little piece out there for you on 610sports.com where you can read all about Breeland that you want. I'm waiting to see with him. Can he cover? He had a pick six last year. I like that. He did sign with the Packers, but he signed late. The Chiefs were in on Breeland, but it's a one-year deal. And one-year deals are not bad. One-year deals are great deals in the NFL because you can back that truck up if it doesn't work. But the Chiefs aren't done. The Chiefs are not done at all. As a matter of fact, Brett Veach said this on his teleconference.
We're not done. This was one part. One part was to get flexibility and get ammunition to do things that we want to do. And again, keep going back, there's a long time before the season gets out there. It's one thing if the season is kicking off Sunday. That's a very valid question. You know, pass rush and some more defensive help, corners, this and that. And again, if the season started Sunday, that would be one thing. But you talk about September, talk about a big window here before the draft, after the draft, and even, you know, during start of training camp, there are things that can happen. So none of those things, though, and moves cannot be made unless you have faith and draft capital. And, you know, that's kind of the position we're in now.
And they have draft capital. 1-2-2s this year, 1-2-2s next year. They can move up and down. I was looking at Jimmy Johnson's trade value chart that he put out, and teams still use it.
Nerd.
And the Chiefs have 29th pick is a value of about 640. And I was looking at trade scenarios for the Carolina Panthers. Let's say it's picking 16th, trade value of 1,000. So essentially you would have to give up a first round pick and a second round pick, and that would come to a score of about 932. Will they make that deal or not? Is this going to be a Myers market? Will teams take less to move? Now, moving up to top 10, much different. moving somewhere like 16 to 20, much easier prospect. What's going to happen? Montez Sweat, one of the top edge rushers in this draft from Mississippi State, has kind of a heart condition, and he's been falling, and teams have been watching him.
What's his name?
Montez Sweat. Ja'Kai Polite is the guy that could fall to the Chiefs, edge rusher from Florida. Not a huge fan, did not have a great combine. The guy that I want, and, you know, spoiler alert, I stay with the same guys a lot of times in mock drafts. I look at it like this. When you're filling out brackets, NCAA brackets, which we'll get to here in a minute. When you fill out, like, five of them, and then you try to show me how smart you are, I'm like, wait a minute. This is one of your, like, five guesses. You have, like, five different Final Fours.
Yeah.
But I'm going to call you a genius when you fill this out. That's why I'm kind of with mock drafts, and I kind of zero it in towards the end. I stay with some of the same guys at points, just like Patrick Mahomes was on every single mock draft I did. And Jalen Ferguson, the edge rusher from Louisiana Tech, who did not compete at the combine. And I'm very curious because Louisiana Tech Pro Day is tomorrow. Now, keep in mind, John Dorsey always said this when he had these little meetings with the media to show how he drafts. He would always look at the film when you played a good team. When you're not playing like New Mexico State, when you're playing Alabama, when you're playing LSU, he was tossing around the tackle at LSU. So he's done this against good competition. He's the NCAA all-time sack leader. Chiefs are interested in him, by the way. They went to dinner last night with Jalen Ferguson. His pro day's tomorrow. Very curious about the numbers on Jalen Ferguson, what that reveals, because he wasn't able to go to the combine, but interview.
Where they eat at?
I don't know where they ate at. I haven't got those specifics yet, but I would like to know if they went for steak. Definitely or if they went for fast food or whatever. They probably did it down there. It's probably down in Louisiana. Probably had some Creole, some Cajun blends, maybe some shrimp, some etouffee, maybe some jambalaya.
You going to keep going with shrimp with Cajun foods?
I love Cajun foods, Dust Man.
Oysters?
It's not Cajun.
I mean, they eat them at Jazz, the Louisiana kitchen.
Yeah, come on now. Let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy, Dust Man.
You don't do oysters?
Here's my thing with the oysters. There's always a shell in it, and it drives me nuts. Have you ever hunted for... See, in Rhode Island, they call the thing quahogs. And one day, I spent a day, and what you had to do is dig down in the sand. And I got like a full bucket of these quahogs, and we went and fried them up. But they sucked. And you got to be very careful when you open them up with a knife, because you'll catch yourself like I have.
Oh, that shucking.
Well, but I caught like hundreds of dollars worth of quahogs.
I don't doubt it. You've got a 3.4.
And we saw, you know what? I'm going to prove that to you. I'm going to prove that to you because I had honor cords in college.
Okay.
I'm going to prove this to you. People doubted that I used to fly planes until I brought in my pilot logbook and my pilot's license. They're like, oh, my God, Jay wasn't lying. He is a pilot.
You're not doing yourself any favors by telling people you fly planes.
Well, I did fly planes. I was a pilot, and I have a pilot's license. And I brought it in and showed people because everybody shut up then like, oh, he's not joking. He's serious.
So did Roy Halladay.
You know? I'm not dunking a basketball anymore. I've obviously gained a little bit more weight than when I could dunk.
You never dunk.
This is not true. I don't live in the world of fake news like you, Dusty.
But you just said that you gave out fake news.
Well, I did on this Darby thing because that source burned me. Source is one for two because they got right the Dontari Post sign in Atlanta because I had that before Schefter and Rappaport. Suck on that, those guys.
Okay.
I don't break news. I just break chairs, and I made that very clear. That was our garage motto.
Okay,
live late and overweight. Pete Sweeney was extremely hungover today because he went out drinking with Steven Serta. The latest Chiefs news, Breland, Tyreek Hill, you name it. We talk to Pete Sweeney next.
Bing at night.
And welcome back, and all that's true. I think we still might get some bad weather, so I'm not willing to call winter over. Even Dusty's fake radar has like 50s and 60s.
What do you mean bad weather?
Remember last year? We got all excited. Shohei Ohtani was going to pitch. It was like 24 degrees. They called the game. I was pissed, too.
I was pissed that game.
There was so much media here. So much media.
I was two pretzels deep and a thing of nachos ready to go, and then they said they called it because of snow.
But you know what? You still had the pretzels and the nachos, so all's not lost.
Didn't Trout hit like a home run the night before in the snow?
Yes. Trout always hits home runs
and
at Kauffman.
Didn't you, quote-unquote, call it?
I beat that. We play this call the home run game, which I've won every year. Vern sucks. LaFever's better than me, though. I'll give him that. LaFever's better than me. Joining us now, editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com and friend and a man that's extremely hungover today because I heard him earlier, Pete Sweeney. How are you, Pete?
And a liar.
I'm feeling better now. Yesterday, Sunday, St. Patrick's Day is not a good recipe for work on Monday morning, but I'm feeling okay right now.
Is Sweeney Irish?
It is. Yeah, my parents will tell me that I'm three quarters Irish and a quarter Italian with some other, you know, European stuff mixed in there.
With 10% BS, right, Pete?
That's right.
What was your drink of choice?
At least 10% of that.
What were you drinking yesterday, Pete? Because you got Serta trashed.
We were having Guinnesses, and Serta kept buying shots.
Oh, I hate that guy.
They started calling him Shot Steve.
Shot Steve.
What kind of shots was he buying?
JMO was flying. There was Red Bull involved at some point. It's just, I mean, Sunday St. Paddy's Day is a recipe for disaster.
Did any of you guys get sick?
No. Steered clear of that. We handled ourselves like the early 30-year-olds that we are.
I heard you join Vern today, and you were talking about how you'll get that Breland post up. And I was so excited because I was just about to post it. And we've had these website issues, so I posted it while you're talking. I'm like, I beat Pete again. But then it didn't transfer over because we've got this little transfer problem. And damn it, Pete, you beat me again.
I mean, listen, this is arrowheadpride.com. This is the big leagues, Jay.
I know it is.
Promoted from AAA to the big leagues.
I know, and I'm sitting down here in AA, Pete. Let's talk. Let's talk football, Pete, because that's why you're on.
Of course.
Breland to the Chiefs. They finally got their guy a year later, but they finally get him. Just your overall thoughts on the Chiefs finally cashing in on him. I think they wanted Darby. I really do, but that physical scared them away. So they go to the next choice, which is Breland. But I do think Darby was their top choice.
I agree. I kind of think that it is a little bit of a consolation prize. I think they were looking towards some of the 2017 production, because last year was kind of a weird year for Breland. He, you know, couldn't really link up with any other team, only ended up playing in seven games, starting five for the Green Bay Packers, and they had him playing a little bit more in the slot than he's ever played before, and I don't think he looked as good. And you think about him signing with the Chiefs, right? So Fuller's probably going to be your slot guy and allows Breland to kind of get back to what I think he believes he's good at, which is the outside, and you take a one-year deal. He's kind of betting on himself this year, similar to what you heard that safety Earl Thomas wanted to do, and you hope the best for Chiefs. I think the Chiefs fans will like Breland. I think he has a decent chance of being better than Steve Nelson was, and I think he'll be in the mix there with Charvarius Ward, you know, for that number two spot.
Pete, you're better than Steven Nelson. Speaking of Earl Thomas, this is what he had to say.
So I thought I was going to go to Kansas City on a 2-year deal, 1-year deal, and I was just going to bet on myself and hit the market again. And then my agents called me, David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler. I talked to them on the phone, and they said that Baltimore has a mega deal for you. And I say, hell yeah, that's where I'm going.
Pete, this has been flirtation from the start. This was a deal that was probably going to be done from everything I've heard at the trade deadline until he hurt himself. Do you think that Earl Thomas was going to be instead of the Honey Badger, or do you believe that both of them would have been here?
Yeah, we made the connection today on the website. Matt Lane did a good job. You know, he first pointed out on Twitter, I think, with BK of your station, you know, following the Chiefs social media. They kind of figured out the other team was obviously the Chiefs, Earl Thomas within himself, and it seemed like that they actually wanted to pair these two guys together. And what that led us at Arrowhead Pride to believe now is that Matthew's going to be used in a strong safety role, like in the box, you know, kind of similar to what Eric Berry used to be good at. And it would have been really nice to have Thomas as well. And, you know, I think you're seeing in the AFC, like they start to get wind of these things in the AFC. The Chiefs are so good that the Baltimore Ravens, another AFC team, can see that from afar and say, you know, we don't get this guy. This is going to be another guy we're going to have to beat to get to the Super Bowl. And, you know, so sometimes when you sign a guy away from an AFC team like the Chiefs who are right there, It works double. You know what I mean? The Chiefs now don't have him, and now the Chiefs have to deal with Earl Thomas, who's a good player for Baltimore. He ends up getting the long-term deal, but yeah, you know, to answer your question, you know, the long way around, I do believe that the Chiefs wanted to have Earl Thomas to come in to be the safety next to Matthew, not instead of Matthew.
All right, since we're on safeties, Eric Berry visiting the Cowboys, would you back away from this deal with the Cowboys, or would it hurt your feelings if he played and had a great year?
I wasn't the most popular guy in Kansas City for some of my Eric Berry takes last year, and I'll say this year, if I'm another team that's not named the Kansas City Chiefs and you're bringing this guy in, if you don't give an incentive-based deal based upon games and snaps played, you're out of your damn mind. Like, I don't – any deal that this guy makes that's just guaranteed with, you know, nothing riding on whether or not he plays is an insane thing to do. I know he didn't have the surgery for whatever reason, opted not to have it. So you're going into this season the same body status of last year. He's just going to rest it and supposedly be ready for the start of the season. I think if you're a team, you got to be smart. You got to say it's incentive based, or we're not interested. I'm interested in seeing what kind of deal he gets. I'm just it's very curious because I never had seen a situation like that, like we saw in Kansas City with the day to day thing that we saw last year. It seemed like Berry was in the driver's seat. So if he gets an incentive based deal now, at least it gives the team some sort of leverage. I think by the time Berry, ended up getting released by the Chiefs, the Chiefs really had no leverage in the situation. The player saying whether he's going to play or not. I think teams. Will be smart and probably set themselves up a little bit better, you know, moving forward with this particular guy.
What do you make of the rumors on guys like Jadeveon Clowney?
I mean, you and I have talked about it on the show in studio before. Like, you can't rule anything out with Brett Veach. I think he always has his hand on guys, and I think when people become available, that what he and Andy Reid describe, it's a common phrase in the National Football League, like, as a blue chip player. Which is maybe how Veach characterizes Clowney. I don't think you can necessarily rule it out. I think it'd be interesting. I worry a little bit this year, and you feel a little bit better about it because of Mahomes, but there still are a few question marks along in the defense as far as who's even going to start. Like, a safety comes up in my mind. You don't know how confident you feel about the edge rushers this team has. You would like to head in the draft sort of knowing who's going to be your starters, and it just seems like it certainly isn't the case. And that could reveal your hand a little bit. So I wonder if they still try to shore that up by the time the draft rolls around here in April.
And last but not least, Pete, I've been wait and see with Tyreek Hill. I don't like jumping to conclusion. I like the facts to sort of play themselves out. I don't know what kind of approach you're taking to it, but that's kind of been mine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the investigation is out there. It hasn't been confirmed, as a suspect in this yet. I think you got to wait and see. You don't want to jump to any conclusions, I think, in this type [S2] Nope. [S1] Of situation. I know there's been a lot of controversy in the media. I went on with SB Nation Radio the other night and said something similar to the extent of, if there comes a time when Tyreek Hill is back involved in a messy situation and, you know, it comes out that he is charged, so on and so forth, then you, I think, have more than reason to be outraged, and you have more than reason to move on. But until we get anything definitive, how could you really say anything? And I understand he has a past, and he maybe doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt. I understand all of those takes, but I'm with you. I think you just have to see how it plays out. And then once you know for sure one way or another, then anyone is entitled to the opinion that they have and the decision they make as to whether or not to support this guy any longer.
Innocent until proven guilty. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, Arrowhead Pride, friend of mine, arrowheadpride.com, always on the station, was on Show and Vern earlier. Look for the Power Hour to continue later this week. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks, Jay. Have a good night.
Sober up, Pete. There you go. Pete Sweeney right there, arrowheadpride.com. Coming up next, we dive into the world that is the Kansas State Wildcats. Interesting response by someone on Facebook last night, Dusty, because I was putting where Kansas was playing and all this, and a K-State fan chimed in and said, oh, 6'10", just talking about Kansas, blah, blah, blah. And I responded, did you not see the Kansas State post came out before this one, or do you just like to comment before you take time to read? And he goes, I stand corrected or whatever. I'm like, come on, man.
You hate fake news.
I hate fake news. Being a little bit of a snowflake. Took care of that situation. We talk to Wyatt Thompson next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night. Dusty Likens producing the operation. Been talking a lot of Chiefs. We'll go back to the Chiefs and bracket talk. Tons to go through, especially talking about Kansas State University as we do now. Joining us, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. Wyatt, good evening to you, sir.
Well, good evening, sir. How are you?
Oh, it's always good talking to you. Wyatt, I do have a question for you, though, because you do you do football and basketball for Kansas State. No matter how long this run goes, you're going to have a lot of time off, May, June, July. What does Wyatt Thompson do with himself after a very busy year of calling football and basketball?
Well, it's a really good question, and I think I would answer it probably this way. It's a little bit more busy than most people would perceive from about, the middle of May until probably the first week of June, because that's when we do all of that traveling with the cap backer schedule, about 30 stops around the state. That's following some spring football in April, so it really is a little more busy than most would think it would be. And, of course, once we get to the end of June, I take a little bit of time in July, and then kids are usually back about the first part of August, and here we go again. It'll go pretty quick.
Do you ever practice play-by-play when you're down, maybe out there fishing or whatever you're doing? Do you ever sit there and maybe just see if you still got it, Wyatt? Just, you know, a couple months off, you need to still see if you have it.
I can't say that I do that, but the one thing that I have always tried to do is, in the slower times of the year, go back and critique some of the work. And I think it makes you better when you do that, because if you don't, we all, as creatures of habit, fall into patterns, whether you really want to or not. And some of the patterns are good, don't get me wrong, but, you know, you don't want to have, you know, enough of it to where you're using the same phraseology every time and things like that. So, and it's just kind of a air check, if you will, of what you're doing and how well, or maybe not how well, you're doing it.
Well, you need some climbing stuff, I'll tell you that, Wyatt. You're going to have to think of something that goes with it. Let's talk Wildcat basketball. Run to the Elite Eight last year. Kansas State, all the way out in San Jose, California. Wyatt, you got a little bit of a trip on your hands to face Wisconsin. And the question to you is, Wyatt, will Dean Wade be a part of this or not?
Well, I don't know that we know yet, to be perfectly honest about it. He was to meet with the doctors today. I am not privy to what time the appointment was and or how it has gone. I'll probably find out a little bit more in the morning, I would assume. I think he's been a little bit better in the last couple of days in terms of just responding to treatment all of that. But I think it's probably somewhat telling that Coach Weber continues to be very cautious in his words about, you know, what the potential is. I'm not saying he will or he won't, but I think just based on that, I think you have to be sincere and honest about it and say, if he plays, it's going to be a bonus. I don't think it's anything that you can count on, at least at this point. But things change. You know, he played a little bit in the Kentucky game a year ago. Maybe he can do that again this time, or maybe more. We'll see how it plays out.
But is there one thing that gives this team a little bit of confidence that they didn't have him last year on that run, played a little bit with Kentucky, had those 4 points? But does it matter to the team a lot that, you know, to kind of circle around Barry Brown, kind of lead this team? But they've done it before, and as you say, it's a bonus if he plays or not. But we've seen Kansas State play without him. Now, earlier this season, they dropped their first two without him. But last year, they make a tournament run without him.
Well, you said a lot there, and I think all things being equal, you'd like to have the guy. I mean, there's a reason he was named the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year. He can really play. I mean, he's the most versatile player at his position in the Big 12, in my humble opinion. So it's a big loss if he can't go. Having said that, you are accurate in that they did pretty well last year in frankly, some tough circumstances in that tournament. A couple of those teams that K-State played, they were really good. Let's be honest. People always want to talk about Virginia going out, but UMBC was darn good now, and those two guards were terrific players. But having been there before with a lot of those guys, and name the guys, it's Kamau and Barry and Xavier Sneed and McCall Mayween and some of those kind of guys, Mike McGurl, having experienced that is a major factor. It just is. And there's nothing quite like experience, I think. And having been there before, you hope pays off again. It's a lot about matchups in the tournament, but experience is paramount in my mind.
And Cartier had a big game against Iowa State in that loss, you know, with the 7 boards, the 15 points, led all scoring in that one. What's your overall impression of the bracket, Wyatt? Do you like where Kansas State is, or do you wish Kansas State was kind of where Kansas is, although there's some quality teams in there, scary teams like Auburn and North Carolina and Kentucky, but they get a chance to play in Kansas City. Are you happy with Kansas State's bracket, the seeding, the teams that are in that in the South?
Yeah, I am. I don't think you can look too far ahead yet. I mean, I don't want to speak for anybody at Kansas, but I don't think they're thinking about that yet. I think they've got a Northeastern team that's pretty good, and clearly Auburn is really good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just have to take this game at a time and a weekend at a time. And experiencing this for me last year was really a lot of fun on a lot of different levels. It's the second time that I've been through it with Kansas State, and I think it's intriguing. And from this perspective, those games from, in our particular case, coming up this time, Friday to Sunday, get on you so quick, and there's such a small window of turnaround. Those coaches, I remember a year ago, they hardly slept, Thursday night into Friday, and then the next thing you know, they're playing on Saturday, and all of the preparation that goes into it, and that's also part of the experience that, you know, that helps so much. So I do like the draw, though. I mean, there's none out there that are easy. I mean, think about it from this perspective. Cal Irvine, our first opponent, we play Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock Central Time. They're 30-5, won 16 in a row. And then we either get Oregon or Wisconsin after that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Traditionally pretty good. Yeah, so, but, you know, it's all about opportunity. And I know our players are really excited about it. And I think they're excited to go to California. I think they really are.
Well, it's going to be fun. I mean, it is a 30-win team, and they have a guard there named Max Hazard, put up 23 points in the Big West Conference Men's Tournament Final. Pretty much a high-water mark of the season. He did have 28-32 earlier this season, but one of the best games he had. And you know the way this thing goes, Wyatt. It's about guard play when you get to this time of year. Do you notice a shift from the regular season to the NCAA tournament when it comes to the guard play, or is there another position that really stands out?
Well, I think they all stand out, but your point is a good one in that I don't think you even get to this point to make a tournament unless you have good point guard play and good two-guard play. It's such the way the game has evolved. There aren't as many dominant big men as there once was from my perspective. I mean, how many Zion Williamsons are there in college basketball? There's one, you know. But you look at, and you mentioned Max Hazard, and I don't know if you are aware of this, but he is the grandson of Walt Hazard.
No way. Who, I didn't know
helped,
that.
Who helped UCLA to their first national title with John Wooden in 64. That's a long time ago. But this kid's a good player, too. And they have others, but, they're like K-State in this way. They really like to defend. They're one of the best defensive teams in the land. It's just that there's probably, frankly, a difference between playing in the Big 12 night in and night out as opposed to the Big West. K-State should win the game, but that's what makes the tournament great. You got to go out and prove it and do it.
Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. Wyatt, as I like to do, I like to look up burger joints in cities. San Jose has a place called Main Street Burgers, 4.5 stars. I'm telling you, it's on Lincoln Avenue. This might be a place to go where the counter Santana Row. These burgers look absolutely fantastic, Wyatt. But remember Main Street Burgers if you got a little downtime.
I'm going to remember it, and I'm going to – our little travel itinerary party coordinator is Kenny Lanou. I'll let him know that. I'll get him all over that.
Yeah, tell Kenny about it. Send me a tweet. Send me a picture of the burger that you have out there. It might be good luck, Main Street Burgers. All right, Wyatt.
You never know. Let's try it.
It's always good talking to you, Wyatt. We wish you the best of luck. Have a safe trip out to San Jose, and have a great off season as well. I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road, as I like to talk to you as Kansas State makes that march. Thanks a lot, Wyatt.
You bet. Great talking to you, partner. I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. Wyatt Thompson right there, the voice of the Kansas State Wildcats. I like that guy. I don't want to go all John Gruden, but let me tell you about this guy. They're always busy. Even Ryan LaFever finds a way to be busy in the offseason, Dusty. They just do. Coming up next, this guy was cut, and I want him. You're probably going to think I'm stupid. I'll tell you that is next.
Big at Night.
Jay Binkley, Big at Night, Dusty Likens, producing the operation, and he's still got a job, folks, and he's about to break some news. Dusty, go ahead and break some news.
That's right. A couple years ago in an interview, Blake Bortles was asked what he would do if he wasn't playing football. He said he would rip cigs and probably work construction. That's true. You can look up the audio. It's one of the funniest clips of all time. He literally said, I'd rip cigs and work construction.
Did you ever see his girlfriend?
Doesn't matter. No, it does matter, bro. All I know is he's going to a place where his head coach's girlfriend's a lot better looking. The Rams, Blake Bortles. He'll be Jared Goff's backup, according to Adam Schefter.
The Bortles man.
Yeah, man.
The Bortles man can.
Former host thought he could be the next Tom Brady. I don't know what the key word in there is.
We kind of got a Bortles here in Henning.
Former host.
Man, this guy was rolling. He was actually playing some good ball 2 years ago.
I don't know if he was ever rolling.
He's not really rolling, but he was playing solid football.
He was doing a lot of rolling out of the pocket or rolling his own darts to hang out where he was ripping cigs. Anybody says they would rip cigs, they probably smoke cigs. And Bortles looks like a guy who might hang a square every once in a while. He just has that gritty look. He has the look of, like, after a nice steak dinner, he steps out on the front porch and has his glass of whatever and fires up a Parliament light or a Marble light or a Turkish silver.
You talk about a guy that's had to deal with haters.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's been dealing with haterade for a long time.
That's all right.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money. He's fine.
Like that college drop I gave you, I know where Blake Bortles went to school.
What's that?
I gave you the college drop where he went to school. I knew it. What? Central Florida.
I know. Proud UCF.
How you doing, sweetheart?
How you doing, sweetheart? A 28-year-old linebacker that played well linebacker in a 4-3 system was released today by the Cincinnati Bengals.
I knew exactly when I read this information. I almost called you, but I was at my other job, and I almost called you.
Did you know I'd see it?
No, I knew as soon as that happened, you got sports horny.
I did.
Because I knew as soon as that came out, you're like, oh, boy.
Oh, I got a lot of texts from people at the station.
That's your guy.
Vontez Burfict. A man that did get crushed by Juju Smith-Schuster, but he's tough. He's only suspended. That? Juju Smith-Schuster.
Okay. Among others, he's hit completely
that we drafted
illegal.
Tano Passanio instead of him. But Vontez Burfict, according to Ian Rappaport, released and available. Of course, we know he's been released. Worth noting, the Raiders are already doing work on linebackers. Hosting Manti Te'o, Aaron Lynch. Oakland may have interest in Burfict, too. Not really a fit in Kansas City. I got in a, not a Twitter argument, but I got in a Twitter debate about my adoration for one Vontez Burfict. And I know this sounds a little nuts because you guys probably hate him. He's a dirty player, but sometimes you need dirty, Dust Man. Sometimes you need toughness. And this response was, we don't need a guy like that. He's not playing his best football at this point. Burfict has been a tackling machine. Back in 2013, led the league 177 tackles.
That was 6 years ago.
Last year, he only played 7 games, started 17 games, dealing with injuries and dealing with the suspensions.
Yeah, because when you lead with your head, you're either going to be kicked out of 4 games or you're not going to play because you don't have any feeling in your neck or brain.
Did have 3 passes defending last year. But the guy brings a little bit of swag with him. The guy brings a little bit of intimidation. You know why? You always have to wonder where this cat is because he will tear your freaking head off. Why don't you like it? I got in this debate with somebody that said, oh, yeah, it'd be a bad fit. And I was like, why? You tell me somebody on this defense that brought toughness last year. Dirty Dan did. I like the way Sorensen plays. Jones is not a dirty player. He just gets the quarterback, very good player. You tell me who has the dog. Ron talks about the dog all the time. You tell me who had the dog. Now, they have him now. Honey Badger just got some dog.
Yeah, because he doesn't give a crap.
Takes what he wants.
Yeah.
He takes what he wants.
I just don't like Burfict because I feel like you always have to worry about Burfict. Like, you always have to worry on your own team, and then you always have to worry as, like, a coaching staff, general manager, like, how much money is he going to get fined? Is he going to miss any games? Like,
that's always an issue. We're kicked out of the league.
And I just feel like right now, like, the way his mentality is, the way, like, he plays football, I feel like that doesn't fit the scheme of how the Chiefs play football.
But should they respect him? No, you remember Tyreek Hill last year before the Bengals talking about Burfict?
To give fairness, your narrative of why they respected him was they didn't want any smoke.
Yeah, they don't want to get – yeah, they didn't want the smoke. So they didn't want the smoke.
So that's more so like they're laughing with him, not at him.
You give me this guy to come in as the goon.
Yeah, but who knows how long he plays? And you got
– come in and take care of some things, you know?
I don't need that.
Be that guy. Hey, I got a guy that'll take care of this. Like hockey has the goon come in.
He seems like a guy.
And the goon protects the star player.
He seems like a guy that would fit at New England.
Speaking of taking what they want, did you ever hear this?
Honey badger, toughest animal in the kingdom?
Without a doubt.
You take what you want? I've always wanted to ask you that. You take what you want?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
That's all it.
That's all you asked, was just those two lines?
No, Pete Sweeney and I interviewed the honey badger in a one-on-one, and we did ask him, do you take what you want? We played on the free agency special Thursday night, but I've always wanted to ask him, I did the same thing with Romeo Crennel. The Chiefs have the system now where after practice, they go to the tent, and they bring the players over to the tent. It used to be a lot more fun, Dust, man. They used to walk up the hill. This is back when you were grinding away at UCM. And they used to walk up the hill, and you just grabbed whoever you wanted.
Oh, yeah.
Like the honey badger, you take what you want. And Romeo was an assistant, and I asked him, remember those Coors Light commercials? How the girls don't turn him down? And I asked Romeo, I said, so what do the girls tell you when they turn you down, Romeo? And he said, they don't. And I said, for the record? He goes, for the record, they don't. See, I like when guys will play along with their persona. I mean, we have talked about the badger taking what he wants. I had to ask him, and he takes what he wants. But back to Burfict. You might not like him. I'd kick the tires on him. And I know there's people who don't like Burfict. He plays like a crazed animal.
This is how I feel about Vontaze Burfict.
There was a good feeling, and then there's a bad feeling.
It's a good feeling and a bad feeling. From the Protein House, Eat With the Purpose text line, from the 816, he's a dirty player, scumbag, but I'd like some nastiness on our defense. Sometimes it's not bad having a scumbag on your team.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
You shouldn't assume, because you know what happens when you assume. I mean, boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
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 That was in he didn't say boom, that's been in it. He was a response to my question.
You shouldn't assume, because you know what happens when you assume. I mean, boom. Yeah.
What happened was he had made a comment that Steve Breaston didn't know the playbook. It's why he went at. So I read his quote. I read his quote directly. And he goes, that's not what I said. Then he pulled out and read the same thing I just read. Because I don't deal in fake news, Dust, man.
Dwayne,
I deal with what they
has,
actually said.
Some ribs.
He's got some ribs. But anyway, I asked Romeo. And he goes, what would you say if I told you my quarterback didn't know the game plan? And his quarterback was Matt Cassel. And I sat there for a minute, and I didn't want to be a jerk off, which I have a tendency to be. Mm-hmm. And thanks, Dusty.
Did you guys notice the sign was Yanni?
I'm the one that he had play good football sign, and I asked him about that day. I was like, this was a total joke. That was the biggest disaster. I used to do the 2-6 show then, and I'd go out there every morning because they spoke in the morning. I'd go out there every day and deal with Romeo.
They have a philosophy, and boom.
Boom. And dealing with Romeo was different. It was different. And then he took himself away from defense to offense. Think about where we were and where we – think about where we were and where we are now.
Human nature says, boom.
That was such a joke. This team was picking first on the clock. They didn't have a lead for 9 weeks.
Boom.
They were being compared to the 1927 Buffalo Bison. We had Inside Edition here. Because of Matt Cassel's injury, and they thought fans were cheering. Because Eric Winston went off.
Does not a game make.
I mean, Protein House, Eat With the Purpose text line from the 405. Hey, Jay, know anything about being a scumbag? I just said, yeah.
I mean, boom.
Yeah. I'm not perfect.
Human nature says, boom.
From 816, I'm normally down to look at anyone and everyone, but I don't know if I can get behind him, Jay.
Oh, God.
Don't stand behind Vontaze. I definitely recommend don't stand in front of him. If the Chiefs do sign him and you're a bar, think twice about going to him and talking junk.
Yeah, but if I know
because I think a lot of you would back down, just like you. I think you would back down.
For sure.
If Vontaze Burfict came in the studio, I'd say, this guy didn't like you, Vontaze. I do.
No.
Go back there and punch him if you want to.
Yeah, and then I'm going to.
I don't think he'd punch you.
No, he definitely wouldn't. But if he did, then I'd be like, hey, intercom, how you doing? Hey, Vontaze Burfict agent, how you doing? And I'd have a big shiner on my eye, and I'd have a lot more money in my account than I currently do. Just saying. Boom. You say the guy in the bar, man. You say that he's there. You don't say anything to him. Most of the time, if the guy's in the bar, I don't go to that bar.
I'm just glad we have the honey badger because he's tough.
I say that you think that he doesn't know the game plan.
Yes.
If I said that about the quarterback, would you assume that the quarterback didn't know the game plan?
Yeah.
It took me a while, but you found it. I said, that's what he said. And I said, play that again.
Because I say that you think that he doesn't know the game plan. If I'd said that about the quarterback, would you assume that the quarterback didn't know the game plan?
Yeah.
There was a dramatic pause, and I said, yeah.
You went, holy crap, he asked me a question.
I was talking about, he turned around and asked me this question about Castle. What was I going to say?
It's like when guys come into the Royals.
I think I pissed him off when I said that.
Oh, God, Romeo was pissed every single time.
The rest of the media was looking at me because he read the same quote I did, and they're like, oh, boy.
Yeah. I mean, what'd he say? He was like, what'd he say about, like, the sign on the door?
Blinking football. Yeah. Eliminate bad football. We had two signs.
Eliminate bad football.
Then he took himself off the defense, even though he's the best defensive
coordinator. He wanted to know why that team
sucked. He wanted to go hold the offense's hand. I can't believe from where we were to where we are. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bernard. Or what was it? Pollard? Was it?
Pollard.
Yeah, he's the one that tore Tom Brady's knee that got Matt Castle the look. That gave Kansas City the glimmer in the eye, and then it just went downhill.
Do you know what Matt Castle's only start was at USC? At running back. They had, like, the special formation with Pete Carroll. They had him at running back.
Probably would have been a better running back than quarterback in the NFL.
Sunday morning, I was driving around, up early, with Dusty Likens, and Nick Price was on 1660. They had a nice conversation about Tyreek Hill. I continued that conversation on Bink Sunday at 10 o'clock. It's about slowing down and letting facts come out. We deal with Tyreek Hill next.
Bing at night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.